Welcome back to KMOX. John Hancock alongside Michael Kelly. Happy Memorial Day to all of you that are out there. Those of you that are frequent listeners to Hancock and Kelly know that I have become very passionate about the sport of snooker. It's a billiard game played on a much larger table, and I compare it like this. If playing pool is like checkers, you're trying to make balls, whatever. Playing snooker is like chess, highly tactical, very thoughtful. It's just a fascinating game, and it's tricky to play and quite fun. And Georgianne got me and her tickets to the World Championship this last season over in Sheffield, England at the Crucible Theater. It's sort of the mecca of snooker, and we were honored to meet so many of the players, one of whom is our guest now. And think about this, folks. You may not know anything about snooker, but think about how rare it is to be one of the best in the entire world at anything, at something. That there's a handful of people in the entire planet that have the skill that you possess in whatever it may be. And joining us right now is one of the greatest snooker players to ever live. He was the world champion in 1980. He was the world number one in 1981 and 82, the best player in the world, the first champion snooker player from outside of Great Britain. He's a Canadian. And when he won at the Crucible Theater in 1980, it sounded like this.
Well, I don't think there's going to be another moment in Cliff's life when he's going to be so tense as this.
Cliff. And there he did it. The last two balls of the frame. He became the world champion in 1980. I had the honor and pleasure of meeting him and getting to know him a little bit. And he joins us now in the voice of St. Louis, the great Cliff Thorburn. How are you, partner?
Yeah, fine, John. Yeah, great. Thank you very much. And nice to hear your voice. And I can, when I hear your voice, I can see your happy face. You were so, enamored with the game and everything that, boy, you really brought some joy to the room whenever you walked in. And I'm just not saying that either.
Well, thank you. That Crucible Theater is hard to explain to people. You've got 980 some seats in there, and not a bad seat in the house. Everybody in there is focused on what is a very intense match of two people. For you, you're coming up through the ranks in the 1970s. You're getting better and better. What was it like as a player to enter that atmosphere at the Crucible Theater?
Well, I played in the first one that was there in 1977. I was getting pretty close to about 30, I guess. But I still felt a bit like a Russian hockey player playing in North America. Well, he's good, but he's not one of us kind of thing. It wasn't really all that bad, but I could sort of feel that, and it sort of gave me an extra lift. But as far as being nervous and everything, I felt pretty good because I'd been, playing on television for quite a while. And once you get to the final stages of a tournament, basically I just used to get numb, and that was the greatest feeling that I had in snooker was, being at the end of a match and having pressure shots. It just, I almost lived for the 4-4 game, the best of nine, et cetera. I felt great. And when I potted the final ball, I thought about my father who actually didn't want me to play snooker, and I didn't think of it in that way, but that's how I got started. I just explained to him how wonderful that the game looked, and he said those four famous words, don't go down there. So I went, oh, yeah, why not? So, but that was a big part of it, and my dad pushed me into sports. So that's the first thing I thought of, and then, of course, the rest of my family, my wife as well.
Yeah, and you played lacrosse. You had a really kind of a rough upbringing. You've raised by your father and your grandparents, really. And I would have to imagine that snooker became almost like a companion for you.
Yeah, it did. I had a love of sports, of course, with the spin of balls, etc. And my dad being sports minded, I that was where I felt the best anywhere, and that was just playing ball games. Lacrosse wasn't a future for me, but I wanted to play because it was a ball game. Any kind of sport I played, but once I started to play snooker and at first I was just chasing the object ball around, like the ball that you shoot with the cue ball. I was just, chasing that around the table for a year or two. But then after a while, I started to, control it. And I never had a long time, every month or so, I'd notice a big improvement in my game. So I just followed that. And, I wanted to watch and play and talk to all of the top players, but of course, I was born in Victoria, BC. I ran out of players to play, and then I went to Vancouver, but I could see myself getting better, and I just knew for some reason I just followed my dream, and I met so many wonderful people along the way that helped me out, but I couldn't, I didn't want to go to bed, and I couldn't wait to wake up to play snooker. So I followed that for a long time. I still love the game medley, as you probably well know after we talked over in Sheffield.
Yeah, it's a fascinating game, and it's a tactical game. And your style of play, your nickname is the Grinder, and it's an apt nickname. The game has become, it's changed over the years. It's a lot more aggressive now. But the folks that played the kind of methodical, tactical game, for me, that's snooker. And that's really kind of your hallmark. You approach that table as a scientist almost, right?
Well, to be honest with you, playing safe was pretty darn easy for me. I mean, playing safe is a little bit... it's a little bit easier than potting the balls, but I had a mind for it. Playing safe is a pretty good B game, but what you want to do is you want to trap your opponent so that he'll leave you a shot, but then you have to be an attacking player because now you're in the balls. You don't want to be playing safe all day. And I became very good at, break building and running points. I mean, I had a fellow walked by me one day and he said, "Thorvin, you spend more time on the table than the cloth." So I knew that I was doing something right there, but everybody else was playing backgammon or chess and they're great games, of course. But I just love to play. And if a shot was giving me problems, so then I would work on it. But there's an old adage that if it's more difficult to play safe than go for a pot, well then you go for the pot, and that's if you follow that rule, that will help your play, rather than getting all muddled up and everything. And it's more fun when you go for a pot, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, but you got to be able to execute the tactical aspect of the game. Now, so for folks that don't know, there's 21 balls on the table, 15 red balls, 6 colored balls. Reds are worth 1 point. The colors are worth 2 through 7, depending on the color. Black being worth 7. It's the highest valued color ball. A perfect game in snooker, it's called a maximum break. It's 147 points. That means you make 36 balls in a row on a 12-foot by 6-foot table with small pockets and rounded edges and not pointed corners, which means your balls have to be dead center perfect to go in. And to get a maximum break, you make 15 red balls followed by 15 colored balls that get then respotted, and then you run the last 6 colors in order. That's a total of 36 shots in a row. Very hard to do. Extremely hard to do. And the first perfect break at the World Championships at the Crucible Theater in Sheffield was completed by none other than Cliff Thorburn, a 147 break in 1983. What was that like?
Well, that was that's what people talk about over in the UK, whereas winning the championship was is more talked about here. But that was nobody had done it on the BBC telecast, and it had never been done before, of course, for as since the game of the first professional championship started in 1927. But I actually had a dream about 2 months before that I had made it, that I made a 147 in the World Championships, I felt like I had done it before, and once I got towards the end, I was pretty calm. But I would, like when you hear golf stories, when somebody says, "Well, I bet you made that putt before," like to win the U.S. Open. I must have shot that last shot 10,000 times. This for Cliff Thorburn to make the 147 break, and I felt that calm at the end that. I just wanted the black ball to go straight into the pocket and not even touch the side. So I felt terrific. And then after there was a bit of joyous celebration for for about a minute. And then I went back backstage, and some young lad asked me for my autograph, and I couldn't even sign my name. My hand was flipping all over the place, and I thank God for not. Feeling like that when I shot the last ball. But anyways, yeah, it was a great moment for me. The 36 balls is great. Black ball is situated down near the, the cushion on one of the ends. And of course it's the most difficult of all the balls that are on the colors to pot. And that's why it's worth 7 points. But yeah, a great moment for myself and something I'll never forget. So can I just, say something here? Can I say?
Absolutely.
Yeah. This fellow who's a friend of mine over in the UK, his name was Richard Johnson, and he was involved with a book publishing company. But anyways, Richard bought the cue that I made the 147 on. So in his office, in London, he's got a table set up. Ooh. So now, he's got my cue, like the 147 cue, is just sort of standing up against the wall, or in a place like to keep it safe, and that anybody that walks into the place, they can actually pick up that cue and then walk over to a spot on Richard's table where the cue ball was exactly where it was on my final black ball, and there's a little white spot there. So you can put the cue ball up and then have a go at the final, the final black and
cool.
One with my 147 cue. So I think that's really neat, that people can actually do that. So
it's
meant a lot to
game.
Somebody, that's for sure.
It's such a great game. And we're speaking with one of the greatest snooker players to ever live, Cliff Thorburn. And, sir, you're back in Canada now, enjoying what is going to be a nice summer, I hope.
Yes, yeah. I was up at the CN Tower having dinner about 2 nights ago and with my wife and a few friends. And yes, it's good to be back home, although I'm from Victoria, B.C., but just a little bit of golf now. But I'm Canada's national a snooker coach, so I'm going to be busy soon. And one of my best pals just won the Canadian Championship yesterday, so we're going to have a little celebration.
Well, we're still
Michael
and I are still working on our game, and but probably could use a little coaching one of these days. But hey, thanks so much for taking the time. I so enjoyed getting to know you and all of the other. It's just a great community, that snooker community, and. Cliff Thorburn, kind enough to join us from Canada this morning on Memorial Day. Thanks so much, sir.
It's my pleasure, John, to be safe, and it was great to meet you. Look forward to next time.
All right.